You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome to episode 197 of another Woodshop podcast, where this week Pete got finished on, Dan came down with a case of shingles, and despite doing this for 4 years, and I'll quote a great poet, Drake, here, started from the bottom, we're still here. What's up, Dan?
not a whole lot. I'm still alive and kicking, and that's all that matters, really, yeah, right?
Things haven't gotten any better, they haven't gotten worse, and that's what matters.
That's exactly right. They haven't gotten worse.
Yeah. A wise man.
You know. Go ahead.
Oh, I said a wise man once said, things can't get worse if you're at the bottom, right?
I was gonna lead into the Patreons. I was gonna be like, do you know what hasn't gotten worse?
Go.
Oh. Thank you, Pete. The patrons.
Since you did the segue, I'm just gonna let you take it.
The patrons haven't gotten worse. It's only getting better.
It's only gotten better. That's the only thing that's gotten better.
We've gotten two new patrons this week. We got Joel Balistra, and sorry if I butcher these names. I'm really sorry. And Heather Jablonski.
Woo! That's one of my people.
I think I got the names right. I feel good about the names.
That's my family, mi familia, man.
do you claim all the skis? Is that like the thing that's in Poland?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm all about the skis. And the then skis and CKYs at the end and SKYs. If there's a Y, it's just Americanized. That's fine.
SKY, that's sky.
words are hard. Those are my people.
Speaking of my people, let's talk about the VIP patrons that we love to shout out every week. These people go above and beyond to help us out. And they are Max and Mindy Coons of Stubby K Studio, Justin at Calvary Custom, Scott Shirk at Red Lake Custom Woodworks, Bill Burkle from WTB Woodworking, Malcolm, Mr. France at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines, Justin Bailey from Campfire Woodworks, Nit Brim from Nick Brim Woodworking, Patrick Gensel. Victor R. Gama, Max Reed, and Not Alyssa at Reed Design Co. Gillette Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcraft, Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks, Charlie Coons from Stubby K Studio, and Scotty Holland from Elevated Wood Design. Speaking of Holly,
Holly Scotland?
Scotty. Speaking of Scotty Holland, he does a little thing on Wednesdays with Lefty, our good friend Lefty. I think they took a break. What do they call it? They call it
a hiatus.
Between two.
Oh, I thought you were asking about what a break is called.
They took a hiatus.
A sabbatical, yes. if you will.
They took a hiatus, but I think they're back. They're doing the Between Two Woodworkers on IG every Wednesday night.
Wow.
I just want to give him a little shout out because Scotty's a VIP patron. So, yeah.
I mean, anyway. We could have put that into Maker News, Dan.
Oh, crap. Oh,
well, that's fine. No, this is.
Scratch all that.
You guys forget about all this.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you to all of our patrons. We love you long time. If you want to join the Met Army, as we lovingly call it, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and you get signed up for one of our four tiers over there. And we'll welcome you into our bosom.
The warm bosom of AWP. What tier is that? Because I want to avoid that one.
Not telling you. You got to find out.
Yeah. You just surprise.
Surprise. Warm surprise, bosom tier. Warm
AWP bosom. Well.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, speaking of bosoms, we're also going to be doing a Patreon call in the coming month or so. So it's going to be either April or May. We're going to try to figure that out. We're going to do a post soon. So stay
or
tuned
June
on Patreon.
Or July,
nah, we're going to try to do it in this half of the year, but we're going to do a 1 hour long. It's open to all patrons, all paid tiers of patrons. And you guys are just welcome to join us and hang out for an hour, which always turns into 2 hours, and have a grand old time and You know, we tell you guys. Yeah,
we usually just
recipes.
Go in there, hang out. We go in there, hang out. You know, if you have any like dying questions that you want to ask us, you can ask us, or you could just chill with us and laugh with us.
Yeah, talk about our hairstyles, craft beers, our favorite Legos, like everything. Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Well, all the things.
All those things.
Nothing is off limits, except for the one thing. You know what the one.
You know
thing
the one thing is. One yeah, thing. Nick Brim. You know what's off limits.
You know what
you. You know what you've done. We've got some exciting news because
yes,
this week we have a sponsor, and it's someone super awesome and very close to my heart because it's someone that I've been following for a very long time, and that is Pwn CNC, also known as PWN CNC, also known as Daniel from PWN CNC, who built
and Diana
and his wife Diana. I've watched him like build this from the ground up over pretty much my entire CNCing and woodworking career. And it's just been so cool to watch him grow from like a one man shop, getting it all figured out. He was one of those first guys too that like really figured out all the hardware and like how to design every little bit around the hardware he was getting. Everything looked so professional, was 3D printed. And I still to this day use their hold downs on my CNC. They're great because if you CNC right through them, they're you know, they're not going to damage your bits. But you guys correct. Know we love our CNCs, and what better way to show all the love to our CNCs than, you know, add a little flair and some upgrades on them. So we're going to be upgrading ours a little bit. We want to show them a little love, a little bit of maintenance. But they've got a lot of really cool stuff on their site. Make sure to check it out. It's all going to be in the show notes. They have everything from just plug and play spindle systems, which is big because I had to get one off of Amazon and learn how to solder, and that was a nightmare, and I messed it up several times until I got same. Help from an adult.
That's massive for me. It's, anything that I don't have to wire myself,
yeah,
that's a total win.
Yeah, so plug and play entire system built and designed by them. They got accessories, and all of this comes with wonderful support through their support portal, so make sure to check out the site. All the links are going to be down in the description, and if you use code AWP, you'll save 5% off of your purchase. So check out the link in the description and go support those guys because they're one of us. They built their company around the maker community, and they're constantly adding new accessories, and we're excited to see what they're going to do this year. So check them out there. Woo! Well done, also, team. Welcome to the family.
Yes. Huge love, love to support a small base company that has grown,
yeah,
and it's become what it's become, and it's really great to have those guys on board.
And we had a great time at their booth at I was gonna say Maker Camp, Workbench Con. I saw all the stuff that they did to their bamboo printers. They're all pimped out with the yellow flare and some mods and things. And I was like, oh yeah, I should try to pimp mine out too, make it look a little cooler. So Dan, a 3D printer is this thing that actually I'll explain it later.
Yeah, tell me. At their booth at WorkbenchCon, I actually made a little dust brush. They had a whole little kit that you can make there. You could sit down and make it from like the ground up. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a sweep. I don't know. I was trying to make a pun there. I don't know.
Thought it was a
swoosher. It was a swoosher, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, should we jump into maker news or should we do what's on the bench?
Let's talk about maker news, shall we?
Yeah, well, we can't do maker news without doing this.
Good news, everyone!
There we go. So, Dan, you wanna kick off the maker news?
I will start by talking about our buddy Chris from A Glimpse Inside.
Ooh, what's he up to now?
Him, yes?
That once or 16 times.
Yeah, Chris. First of all, Chris is an awesome maker. I mean, we love him. We've had him on the podcast, and we took his class at
WorkbenchCon,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great class. So Chris has redesigned one of his products, his OG glue caddy, and he launched it. He relaunched it this week.
Yeah, so
not only that, but like he's doing.
He's running a sale right now too.
A sale, right?
Yeah, so go check that out. Go support him. He's a good dude. Makes good things, and he makes it for our community, which is awesome.
Yeah. Once again, love to support people within the community. So, big shout out to Chris. Another thing I want to talk about: You may have seen this in the news recently because it's been popping up a lot in not only in my like my feed of makers and woodworkers, but it's been popping up in my political feeds, which is, and I don't want to get political here, but apparently SawStop is making some waves in the political world and the way that the
are they starting a fourth political party, the SawStop party?
They are not. No, but they should. So apparently the government's talking about like mandating that technology and all table saws going forward. So it's been pretty big news. I mean, people are either up in arms about it or, you know, they're like, this is cool. This is what this trade needs. And, you know, it's pretty fun. Like it's to read everybody's opinions in all the different forms. So I've read opinions on Reddit. I've read opinions in Instagram comments, Facebook comments, and you know how internet comments go. Like,
Dan?
It could be a dumpster fire at times. Let's just say, but I think it's a cool thing. I really do. If SawStop is willing to share that technology, and apparently, according to Stumpy Nubs, if you haven't watched Stumpy Nubs' latest video, James Harrison's, he goes in depth on the whole like issue with SawStop and them releasing their technology and it being mandated for all table saws moving forward in the U.S. But apparently it hasn't passed like the House or the Senate. I mean, so it's even, just kind of like,
here's the thing. Even if it's not mandated, the fact that it's available now and it's going to start becoming more available and more tools, not just, I mean, they're going to figure out how to do this. Like, you know, they have the anti-kickback on a lot of these circular saws now and track saws. Like all this technology is great. And I don't mean to be negative here, but to anyone that makes the argument of like, well, when I was growing up, well, no, that's stupid. Because you know what?
Right. When you were growing up, asbestos was okay to have in your house.
You know what? Like there's medicine now that cures polio. Like there's, you know, why should we live with polio? We got rid of it. We made it better. So why should we live in the future where people are losing their fingers to table saws? That shouldn't happen. There should be a safety feature.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah. I believe that we should look at this positively and think about this like it's a positive step forward
awesome.
In the community and in the trade and the everything. So I'm trying to look at this positively and not talk about like I've seen people make arguments about like, well, it's my liberty and it's my freedom. Like
get out of here. It's like when they
is
mandated
it really your freedom
seat belts,
to cut a finger off.
Like seatbelts, same thing. Same like people used to be up in arms about having to wear seatbelts.
Have you seen that old video from like the 80s when they first mandated seatbelts?
Was it seatbelts or was it like drinking? Or
I think
something?
It was seat. It may have been seatbelts or drinking. Yeah, driving. Well, I can't remember.
Oh, I can't like leave work and have a beer on. But like something like that.
Oh yes, yes, he may have been drinking. That is just. Well, that just opens your eyes. Like you see that video now and you're like, oh my God, we used to live like that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Also back in the day, cars didn't really have any airbags or anything.
No. I mean, when I was a kid back in the 80s, we would crawl into the back window and lay up on that back window seal.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Of my mom and dad had a, I think they had a 1978 Monte Carlo. That car was a badass. Let me tell you what. However, in the back seat, it had that giant back window where two kids could fit up in that back window. And we would ride there when we were driving down the road. Nowadays,
dude, it's so
not
weird.
Safe.
I was
not safe.
On the road trip we did down to Nashville, like I was telling Emma, she was like falling asleep, like just hop in the back seat and like lay down across the seat. She's like, I can't seatbelt in that way. I'm like, that's fine, you'll be okay. She's like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, all right, I love you. I'm not gonna argue this because you're right. You're right. It's the safer thing to do. But like growing up, I would lay across the bench seat in the back, and if my dad slammed into brakes, well, now I'm just in the footwell. Like it just fell to the floor, and I have to get back up. Like whatever. It basically listen. This is all good news. This is all crazy good safety stuff. There's gonna be a lot more of this on other tools. Where because here's the thing, like. SawStop technology, as far as safety goes, guess what? That's kind of old now. There's tech out there that stops the blade instantaneously and drops the whole saw without ruining the blade.
Without you can literally restart it. Yeah. Yeah, I think what Felder has.
Felder that has that, I think. Yep, exactly.
On their sliding table saw?
Yes, on the beefy saw. And it's just so cool. Like, it's going to be nothing but good things for the future.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it positively. I feel like it's a positive step forward. So whatever your take is on it, hopefully you see it the same way we do. But, you know, if not, we can't change your mind. Go watch Stumpy's latest video. That's actually a really good video. I highly recommend it. It's like 15 minutes long.
Speaking of making the internet mad, so if we can stay on the same subject, Ben Myers... Ben Myers just straight up drove his tractor over his Onefinity and
his 3,000-pound tractor.
And oh my god, wait, let me get to that part. Instagram, everyone was like, oh, super cool, that's awesome, whatever. Like, oh, so beefy. TikTok still fairly supportive. He did it on Reddit too. And Reddit was having none of it. They were like, a Kubota? That's clearly 1,500 pounds. And like, there's all these, like people were throwing numbers at him, like, get a real tractor. And like, you're missing the point. And then,
right? I mean, the trolls. 1,500 pounds is still nothing to like shake a stick at.
Yeah.
Oh, driving over a CNC rail.
Oh,
and after he drove over the rail, like, it was still fine.
Oh, there's no, there was everything, no,
all the parts still
I don't
moved.
Think I saw any
and
flex.
Nothing like flexed at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So I was actually pretty impressed. I'm also impressed that he got the traction with the actual tractor. Well,
he put it in four wheel drive or something, and then he drove over it. And he put he mounted it to some 2x4s.
Yeah, yeah. So it wouldn't tip over.
Long, so it wouldn't tip over. Yeah,
I was impressed.
Science,
science.
But yeah, that's a fun reel, and it's funny to see how Instagram reacts versus how Reddit reacts.
Yes.
And if anybody's familiar with Reddit is like a cesspool of commenters. It's awful. It's worse than YouTube comments, frankly.
Yes. No, it really is. Yeah. It's there's a hierarchy.
On Reddit, there's still a modicum of like anonymity, right? People still feel a little bit anonymous there because you're not using your actual name. You can use whatever name you want. And people will just be like, really?
Yeah, mine's Petrie underscore 2875. No one's going to know who I am. Come on, let's be real.
I still have my old Reddit name. I've never changed it. It's still LD Powell.
At Cox.net.
Yeah. No, not at
Cox. You got rid of that email now, right? Because you have to change internet providers?
Yeah, I don't have the Cox anymore. Cox
is you still got the AOL and MSN, though.
Yeah, I still got AOL. Speaking of, this is like way off topic.
Okay.
Way off topic. Did you realize Yahoo's still a thing?
Yes.
Like it's still a company?
Yeah, yeah. It's still a search engine. People still use the emails.
My buddy Sam works for Yahoo still right here in Omaha. And I was like, wait a minute. Stop. Hold. Stop the presses. Like,
works for
you
them?
Work for Yahoo?
I knew the website was still up, but I didn't realize people still work there.
He works for Yahoo. I was like, shut your mouth.
Huh.
You work for Yahoo? They actually pay you? Yeah. So
wow.
It's still a place. I had no idea. Anyway, sorry, tangent.
No, I mean, I didn't realize anyone still works there. I thought it was just like one of those things where like the website just like Space Jam, like it's just, the website's still up.
Right?
It just auto-updates itself.
Well, what is going on? How is this still a thing?
Well, speaking of incredible, futuristic, top-of-the-line websites, Dan, you want to talk about Hamilton Dilbeck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See the segue.
What he's doing with the CNC with me, mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And I'm not getting paid to talk about this. I am a member of the CNC with me that he started.
Sell out.
If you go back to the episode that we had him on, he was talking about how he wanted to get that up and going, and that was his plan. Well, it's up and going now.
Thanks to us.
And yeah, I'm going to take a little credit.
Take a little credit.
No, but he's got like 700, 800 members.
Fantastic. And listen, he's phenomenal. And he's got the material to give something to someone, to everyone. I'm like, he's putting in the work. So, like, so
every week he releases a video on Fridays, and that video coincides with a project that you can make alongside him on the website CNC with me. And he releases all the files and everything and all the instructions, and it's just really, really great. And I've downloaded a bunch of the files, and I'm going to cut them out and actually sell them at a craft fair that I have coming up that I'm going to talk about at What's on My Bench. So huge shout out to Hamilton. What he's doing is phenomenal. I don't know of anybody else who's doing anything like that currently. So big props to you, Hamilton. Also, this past week, he had somebody come out to his shop and was grinding stumps for him because he's got this big piece of land and his shop is in a barn. And he has some stumps around his property and somebody came out to grind the stumps. Well, not only did they grind the stumps.
Is that a euphemism?
No, that's a literal thing. Okay. They came out to grind the stumps. And not only did they grind the stump, but they ground the power to his barn.
No!
Yes. So now he has to go through that whole like rigmarole that Coffee went through when he was trying to get power to his shop. They got to put down a new pole. It's going to be weeks or whatever. So he released a video this past week, and he had to take a spindle out because he doesn't have 220 in his shop anymore. He doesn't have power at all. But he was able to run his Onefinity CNC with the Makita router, I think with a battery pack.
Like a Jackery?
A battery pack or a small generator.
Dude, listen, if he can run it with a Jenny, why not? That's pretty cool.
I mean, how devastating would that be? You open a business and it's going well and things are great. And then boom, like just like that, like the power gets shut off to your shop and you might be down for weeks. I can't imagine how bad.
I'm really glad that he's got the website, he's got his own plan sales and all that stuff, because that's providing some business. And obviously he's probably running a generator right now, so he's still getting some work done, but dang.
Oh, he's getting work done. That guy puts in work.
Yeah.
So yeah, seriously, go check out his website, cncwithme.com. He's doing great things over there and huge props to you. Also at WorkbenchCon, he allowed everybody to put stickers on his machine because his machine was the one at WorkbenchCon for the Onefinity crew, right? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want to haul a machine. I think they had the Elite Maso there. They didn't want to haul one across the country. So they just hit up Hamilton because he's local to Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, can we use your machine? They did it in the past, I think.
Last year he had the smaller one and they brought a new one to WorkbenchCon, and then that was to become Hamilton's. Because they work together. So, like, it went to his shop, and that's why, like, it left the shop again. Like, well, it's the WorkbenchCon one. Bring it out.
Right. Something like that. Yeah. They had some sort of deal. However, Hamilton let everybody at WorkbenchCon put their stickers on his machine. As long as it wasn't on, the rail. A working part.
Yeah.
You had to put it on something that was, like, I think black. That was the deal. I put my sticker on the best spot. It gets the most
camera. Oh, is it right on the spindle mount? Yes,
it's right above the spindle. So if you go watch his video, Daniel Dunlap Woodworks is like, blam, plastered.
I bet right you there. There's one like sticker that gets more visibility than yours.
What's that?
The Barnett billboard.
I you can't see it on Hamilton CNC, so...
You can see that thing from space.
Yeah, I know. Barnett sticker was like 24x24. It was massive. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about...
Wow, me? It's my turn? I've been talking this whole time, too. So, well, one of the things I want to talk about is Katzmos has just released a new jig, which is super cool. I actually got to try it or play around with it in Keith's shop because he was testing it out. And it's for making crosscut sleds. So it's cool. You essentially do a plunge cut, like, or put down, you know, your base for your sled with the rails on it already, sliding in your table saw, and then you raise the blade through your table saw and make a slit. And then you're able to use this jig to essentially line up perfectly to the kerf of that opening, and it gives you a perfect 90, and you clamp on the fence to that. Lift it up and essentially just secure it right with that clamp on it.
So it cuts out a lot of the guessing time trying to dial in that perfect squareness. You get a
perfect crosscut slit, which is really nice. Yeah, very nifty. I do appreciate a good like aluminum anodized tool, or what's the other one? Well, it's powder coating and an anodized. I think they're anodized.
I think it's anodized.
Yeah. It's just,
I mean, it looks cool. I appreciate anything that's going to save me time.
Yeah, that too.
Honestly.
And the thing is,
time savers are worth their weight in gold.
I use like one crosscut sled, and then I go to Keith's shop, and he has like three or four, depending on like different sizes, different whatever. And I'm like, I gotta try.
I have one crosscut sled, but that thing is massive. Like, I always, whenever I make a crosscut sled for me, I make it as big as I possibly can make and fit on my actual table saw.
Mine's I feel like pretty big too.
If I can't use that table saw sled for every part that I cut, well then it's useless.
Also, so mine,
I try to make it as big as possible.
I tend to like just stack mine like somewhere near the table saw. I like put it on the bottom part of it, like whatever is furthest away from you. And that thing, like once every couple of days, just falls straight on the floor. And like, there's no way that thing is still 90. It tries its best, but it's definitely not 90 anymore.
My massive table saw sled. I always take it off my table saw and put it right behind me, and it leans up against this other bench that I have right behind me. I've had it to where like I didn't set it down properly or perfectly, and it has fallen down on my foot when I'm wearing flip flops. Not a good idea.
You wear flip flops in a shop, Dan? That's weird. Let's talk about that.
In the summer.
And then sometimes the fall.
I've already broke out the flip flops for this year. I mean, it's April now, so
they're there in a glass case, like in case of hot weather.
They're getting warmed up currently.
Break glass.
Break glass in case of warm weather.
So the last thing I want to talk about is Maker Collab University has a whole series of classes this month around two subjects. One is finishing and applying different finishes, sanding, things like that. And then the other one is on Shopify basics, what to do before you start a Shopify, all that fun stuff. So a lot of the questions that I was getting in my class about other, I kind of touched on Shopify and running your own website and all that stuff. They're going to go in full depth and detail in there. And then if you also sign up, you're able to obviously get all the back catalogs. So I know for a fact that people are watching the one I taught, because I talked about where you can sign up through a link. And if people click that link, you get 40 free listings. They get 40 free listings. I've gotten like three or four of those emails already. They're like, hey, you've encouraged someone to start a shop. And I'm like, yes, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So that always helps out. So go check that out if you're interested in doing some Shopify or if you need some help with finishing. Both great classes to check out this month. And there's going to be about four or five different classes that they're going to be teaching on those subjects.
Before we move on, can I talk about how awful April Fool's Day is?
It's the worst holiday ever.
It's not a holiday.
I basically did not even look on Instagram on Monday.
I stay clear of the internet on April Fool's.
It was
on April 1st. I cannot stand it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or what, but I despise it with a passion. But I felt that way for years. And I don't know what it is. I don't feel like I'm generally a grumpy guy. I just I don't know. Like I'm fairly positive 78% of the time.
You're positive for grumpiness. They did a test.
I hate April Fool's Day. I really do.
It's really,
I don't know what it is.
Because here's the thing. There is all the silly stuff, right? Like, obviously, you're like, this is dumb. Like, this is clearly not real. And then there's occasionally one or two things that you're like, oh, snap.
That might be it. I think it's because I fell for some stuff in the past.
It's not real.
I fell for some stuff in the past, and maybe that's it. I've been burnt one too many times, and I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm done with this day. I'm signing out.
It was like I went on like on TikTok that morning, and I was just like scrolling through stuff, and every other thing was some kind of either that or people pranking each other, and I'm like, this is not my feed. I'm done. I'm just not looking at the internet today. Yeah. So April Fool's. See,
like, I'm still seeing videos of the freaking bologna folder. Have you seen that?
Oh,
come on.
You sent that, wasted like minutes of my life watching.
I didn't send it. I didn't send it.
I was on a work call and I was watching it without audio.
I don't know who
sent
that. It wasn't me.
By Justin Bailey.
Probably. He's the worst.
Anyway. So April Fool's. I think I talk about this every year, but hold on. What day is this holiday? Oh, it is April 1st. Okay, so April 1st in Poland is very different. And I've talked about this.
I feel like we've heard about this.
We have, and I talk about it every year. Because, like, if you're going to have...
Remind me.
It's called Schmingus Dingus.
it's all coming back to
me. And I'm just... That's the show title right there. Schmingus Dingus.
You're going to have to spell that for me, there, bro.
It's a she, which is an S with a line above it.
I mean, you could
like when you're
me.
Trying to write the word blasé and there's got a little accent mark.
I don't know how to spell blasé. You're really going out on a limb here.
So
to assume I know how to spell blasé.
Schmingos Dingos is essentially a water balloon or water bucket fight day. It's like you just dump water. It's boys used to dump water on girls that they liked, and it was like the holiday. Also, it's freaking April. It's freezing out. Really. But
isn't it cold all the time in Poland? Isn't that? Isn't it in the Arctic Circle?
It's more like Connecticut. Something like. There. It's a little colder.
Oh, it's very expensive. Like, I get it.
A lot of turtlenecks.
Randy understands.
A lot of turtlenecks. a lot of sailing, things like that. But Schmingos Dingos is basically just like a water balloon day. Although they don't have balloons in Poland. They haven't invented them yet. So it's mostly...
It pig intestines?
No, it's just intestines, it's like water guns and a lot of like dumping of buckets. Like everyone's just winning football games all day. Oh,
it's
just
like the ice bucket challenge.
We got it, coach. Yeah, like that stuff. It's just not Gatorade. Okay. It's just Poland Spring water. Because all water in Poland is Poland Spring. Just a heads up. In case you guys were wondering.
There's a large percentage of our listenership has no idea what Poland Spring is.
I mean, you don't know. Like, maybe Radek listens to this. He probably doesn't. He lives in like South America now. That little globetrotter.
No, Poland Springs. It's a bottle. It's a brand of bottle of water on the East Coast.
It is. It's northeast. Okay. It's like Zephyr Hill, except it's not poison. Or Deer Park, same thing, but it's good. Like, it's Poland Spring is the best water out there, and I'm not just saying it.
The only bottle of water I drink is Smart Water.
It's like, imagine Dasani, but like they don't kill kittens to make each bottle. Like, it's that kind of thing. So. Now, Poland Spring is really good water. I don't know what it is.
Anyway, why are we talking about bottled water?
Because Schmingos Dingos.
Oh, Schmingos Dingos.
April Fool's, baby. And that's not an April Fool's joke. It is Thursday. It's the 4th. 4th, yeah.
Yeah, it's the 4th. 4-4.
Yeah. National Water Fight Day. We should do this.
We missed it. Dang.
Well, maybe if the podcast ever falls on April Fool's, Schmingos Dingos. Just wet.
You know, I'd be down with
just
that.
Just wet t-shirts.
I'm more okay with Schmingos Dingos than I am.
That was pretty good, man.
April Fools. I'll tell you that.
That was pretty good.
thank you.
Well, Daniel, what do we do next?
I think that's it for Maker News.
Well, I think we should.
Do we have a going away? Like, this segment is
bad
done.
News, Jingle. Everyone. We're done. Just like.
Did you play the bad news? I can't remember.
I did the.
Good news, everyone.
I did that one, but there's
good.
No.
Very good.
I should just have it in reverse. So dumb.
We have the technology.
We have the technology. But speaking of having a technology, Dan.
What's on my bench?
What is on your bench, Dan?
You know what's on my bench. Why even go through it?
Well, I know there's not a lot of dust on your bench.
No.
You
actually, that's
took
a very
all
good
your
point.
Poop and put it, you got it all together.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't poop.
It was wood poop.
Look, we've been talking about doing a Dan shop makeover for a couple weeks now, I think. Ever since WorkbenchCon, actually, because I talked to Nick and Braden at WorkbenchCon. I was like, hey, guys, I need all the help. So we actually did it. Nick and Braden came over. We took everything out of my shop. Excuse me. I got dust in my throat still. It's been 6 days.
Come on, man.
We took everything out of my shop, put it in the driveway, blew out the shop, cleaned up all the dust, put everything back, got rid of a bunch of things. I had to hire a roll-off dumpster to throw things out.
Did you really?
My shop. Yeah, I did. I did. I did. I threw out a bunch of stuff. Most of it sawdust. We cleared out 3 50-gallon drums of sawdust just from like...
From just your table saw.
Yeah. My table saw was packed
with
dust.
Dude, so much
dust. There's
a
reel on my page. Braden's like, I'm just going to shove the leaf blower in here. I'm like, hold on. I'm going
to
do this.
I love that you were like, you didn't try to vacuum up any of it. You were just like, no, hold my beer. Because there was probably beer. Watch this. Just leaf blower in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
full power. We made sure the leaf blower had a full battery.
Full power, slow-mo.
Anyways, it is a pleasure to be in my shop currently. It is an absolute pleasure. I cannot thank
Nick and Braden enough. Nick from Knit Brim Woodworking and Braden from Little Bug. Thank you guys so much. You're lifesavers. I owe you upwards of $5 each.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I did take them out for burgers and beer for like.
Only because I think sandwiches is closed now. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had to go with something. You know, went with American fare.
Praise be ethnic sandwiches. Live in infamy. But yeah, we went for burgers and beer over at a local burger place.
Nice. I look forward to those burgers and beer one day.
I'm super stoked to have a clean, organized shop. And I have actually been cleaning at the end of every day to try to keep it that way as long as possible. And I'm even like, so it got so bad that like when I would go to a new machine, like I wouldn't even turn on the dust collector. Like I'm like, it's clogged. It doesn't work. What's the point?
My God.
But now, you know, I'm like going to each machine, make sure all the vents are closed, open the vent for the machine.
I can't imagine living like that.
Trying to be a proper good little woodworker. And so far, so good.
Little.
Hey, speaking of, I'm getting a little tinier.
There's less of you. Smaller. There's definitely less of you.
I'm down 15 pounds.
It's because you coughed up all the dust that you had in your body.
Have you ever seen a cat cough up a hairball?
Yeah,
that's I coughed up a dust ball. Like that. A walnut ball, if you will.
Just coughed up a whole recession. Well, I'm glad your shop's cleaner now. Did you get rid of that 2x4 rack on that one wall? That's all gone?
I did. We did. Oh, yeah, Braden talked me into that. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. That's just holding a bunch of garbage. And we moved the clamp rack from where it used to be. And I don't know if you're familiar with my shop, dear listener. But we moved the clamp rack from like it was in such a way that like it was up on a wall and it was kind of blocking the door. So when you came out into my shop, you kind of had to like duck and weave around the clamp rack to get out of my
dodge.
Shop.
What's the rest of it?
And all my parallel clamps were leaning up against the wall on the floor. So we took the clamp rack, moved it against the other wall that had this awful like plywood and 2x4 shelving that I made years and years ago. And Braden put up the clamp rack over there. And now all my parallel clamps and all my other clamps are up on the wall and out of the way. And it's just, I'm telling you, it's like a real woodworking shop. I feel like I can show the shop off on YouTube now. Like, I'd be proud.
You got to wipe down the tops of your pipes, though. They're all brown still. I noticed that.
Look, stop being so freaking judgmental.
Polish. Man. Say Polish. God. That's fine. Funny thing about when you were doing the post shop tour, my first reaction was like, it looks the same. But the other reaction was, I actually haven't seen that wall where the rack used to be, like where the shelving used to be. And it clicked in my brain. I'm like, I never see it in his videos. Like, your shots are always out the garage door towards the CNC. And when you do stories, it's very much angled towards the ceiling.
I strategically do that because I was very, like, embarrassed of my shop.
You got to get some wall control up in that place now.
I didn't want to show too much of my shop because it was quite literally embarrassing.
You don't want to show off your rack on social media. I get it. But you seriously.
Not without being paid.
You got to get some kind of, like, bigger shelving unit or some kind of more organized wall storage. Like you might need some wall control in there or something like that.
Look, baby steps.
Hey, come on. You're on
the
roll.
Way things are currently. I'm very happy with the way things are currently. I'm still very busy. Etsy's still like controlling my life.
Oh, I hate change. you kids.
I don't know what's going on and I feel like I say this every week. I don't know what's going on, but you know, I continue to stay busy. Tables are popping off. I currently have 9, maybe 10 tables in my queue that I need to get done. So I'm very grateful for that because like if you go back and listen to our goals for the beginning of the year, I said that I wanted to start migrating into more like furniture and small furniture builds and stuff like
breakdown furniture, which is
and it's popping off and I'm happy about it. So and inserts and bow ties are still keeping me busy, so there's that.
That's it.
But it's nice to do it all in a clean and organized shop. It's amazing how much more motivated one is when they're in a space that they feel good about.
Dude, you know what I mean? I can't work in my shop unless it's like the surfaces are cleaned off. It when I got the kitchen island out of there, like cleaned out my shop, it was like a different space for me.
Yeah.
And then now, like, it's 2 weeks later, I'm like, it's not enough space again. Even though everything's clean, I'm like, and you more room.
Yeah, it's a great mental thing. Like, it's weird. I've noticed the change.
It feels better when you're in a clear space.
Yes.
I think absolutely. How
do it puts you in a better mental state.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like your shop is bright enough?
Yeah, it's plenty bright.
You do?
I have a lot of lights in there. Yeah.
So I noticed like many lights, yes, but it was you had yellow lights, you had white lights because you were kind of just giving a full tour. So you have a mix of lights in there, which is nothing wrong
with
that. I do
have a mix of colored lights, which is not
and like
the best look for any sort of like photographer.
And then but, like you know, a mix of that I and like prison bulbs where you just have like one light bulb in the ceiling still on. Like over your CNC, isn't it just that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna order some Barina lights and just ship them to your house. And just turn your whole shop into like
together
bright.
The light system, quote unquote, the lighting system in there over several months. And I was just buying stuff whenever it'd go on sale. And I tried to buy the same color temperature light, but it's all from different brands. So it's not exactly perfect.
When's your birthday again? Christmas, right? Somewhere around there?
Somewhere
right yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. All right. Maybe I'll do it for my birthday. I will send you.
Oh, you're so
new lights.
Yeah, I'm quite happy. No, with the lighting.
I'm gonna send Braden lights so that he helps you install them. Because if I send them to you, they'll just sit there in a box. And that tracks. Yes, yeah,
that's accurate. Yeah. Actually, one of the things we threw away was some old lights that I had just laying around.
Also, I'm gonna call you out on something that you ended up doing in the end. That you what? Weren't going to do, but luckily Nick and Braden were there and they whipped your butt in shape. You were just going to like throw out stuff that they were both like, sell this, just do a story.
Oh, yeah.
And you sold all of it.
I sold a bunch of stuff through the Facebook marketplace. Well, no, actually, I put it all in my stories. I didn't even have to sell it on the Facebook marketplace.
It all went through that.
I sold like $400 worth of stuff.
Yeah, dude. You never know. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, I'm just going to throw this out. Like, yo, list it or do a story about it.
Yeah. I was going to put it on the Facebook marketplace and I put that in my stories. It's like, look, if nobody buys this through here, I'm just going to have to put it on the Facebook marketplace. And everybody bought the stuff I listed. I had a Carbide Create router for the CNC, 65 millimeter. What is that? A base?
Yep.
I sold a Veritas shoulder plane, a really nice shoulder plane that I really liked, but like it sat in my shop for a year unopened, and I was like, well, I'm going to sell this. I got it at an estate sale last summer. I sold some other things. A marking gauge, a Veritas marking gauge. I sold, God, I can't even remember. It was several things. Oh, an old dust boot for an 80 millimeter spindle.
Hang on, man.
Yeah.
And it's such an odd items, and they went like that.
Like, yeah, pretty quick.
You just got to do the stories.
Yeah.
You're kind of a medium deal,
dude. If you're sitting on a bunch of old stuff, list them for sale. Make a few bucks. Put a few dollars in your pocket.
Tens of dollars.
Get some pizzas.
Make enough money
anyway,
to take out two guys
what's on your bench?
Burgers.
What's on your bench?
My bench? Dan?
Yeah.
Dan?
Yeah.
So,
not that kitchen island.
It's not. No, actually, we've been using it. Like, Emma's filled the drawers. So I've been chipping away at that island slowly. This week was a little nuts. The weekend was pretty productive. On Saturday, I cut up all my stock and I went over to Keith's shop. And we actually, here's the thing. Like, I've made drawer fronts and rail style and panel style doors and fronts before. Most of them have been like dowel joinery or pocket holes. And I was going to do like the, dado and rabbit or tongue and groove, whatever, like this, the classic shaker style. And I have like, I had like a cheap bit set and Keith's like, Flam, I got you. I got the, white side bits. So he, not only that
Flam,
it's like family. But you know, it's what the cool kids say. See, you asking, it makes you sound really old.
But Flam?
Flam.
F-L-A-M?
Flam. Bing it. Duck, go that real quick while I do this.
Is that a Smingus Dingus thing?
Smingus Dingus. So went over to his shop, and it was one of those things, like, first, my first response was pride of, like, I've done this before. And then before I even said anything, I immediately went, yes, I will take you up on that. Because he said, just come over to my shop. I have two router tables. We can just knock it out. He's got, like, a benchtop one. I know, I know.
Weird flex.
I know.
Weird flex.
He's doing okay, guys.
He's got two router tables?
So he had, like, a portable one that he uses. So when he does, like, drawers and styles, rails and styles for doors and drawers, he just sets both of them up, lines them up perfectly, and he can run everything through both of them. So we, like, my first part of it was like, I know how to do this. And then I'm like, I want to see how someone else does this. And it was really nice to, like, it was a good refresher.
I just want
to
see if you know how. I know how.
Like Dan playing chicken with Brayden today in the chat. And he's like, that was a test. Yes, I definitely knew I had craft fair this weekend. You passed, Brayden. But it was really, it's always, you know, it's always really nice to see how someone else does something. Sometimes I go into defensive mode and I'm like, oh no, I know how to do this. But I'm like, how do you do this? Show me how you do it. Okay, good to know. That's exactly how I do it, or it's something new or whatever. So it was really nice to do it. Plus, you know, he was set up for everything. We did it all together. Like I said, he's got several, like, sleds and everything for his table saw just to get all that dialed in perfectly too. And it was also nice to be working with someone that, like, he understands the, like, having to shoot from different angles and things taking longer because of cameras involved as well. So, because this is all for YouTube video too. So
he's
at a small channel. Okay. Oh. His cat has a huge woodworking channel that he is featured on called
Jerry and Lola Woodwork.
Yeah. KJ Sawdust, but, you know, it's mainly the cats. Keith is featured.
Nice.
But, you know, so it was really nice. I got everything knocked out. Super thankful to him. He actually taught me something new. So I did learn something very new. I have never made a rail and style panel with a thicker panel on the inside. So he actually had me use 1/2-inch stock with a rabbet and put that inside the frame so that the door was thicker. It's got more weight to it. And in the drawer fronts, you don't have to, like, put a spacer behind it when you screw in the handles. It's already the thickness from the center or 2/3 over to the back of the actual door and drawer front. Does that make sense? So it's not a 1/4-inch panel in the center just floating inside the groove. It's a 1/4-inch with another 1/4-inch on the back of it to make it that flush make on the half. Back. It's a half. Yeah, it's good math. Math guy. So I've never actually used a 1/2-inch panel, and there is no rattle. It sounds, like, dense and thick and hardwoody. You know, it's MDF, but it still sounds, like, way more stout because my entire...
I've had people tell me I sound dense and thick.
And hardwoody.
Not so much hardwoody,
actually. Because, like, my entire kitchen is just, like, barely a 1/4-inch panel, and all of my doors rattle. It just feels so cheap.
Yes, I understand what you're talking about there. My kitchen's the same way. You could shake the door, and you could hear them go...
Yeah, just, like, tap it. Yeah. You just got that vibration to it. So I hate that.
Cheap 90s cabinets.
And I was going to just do 1/4-inch panels inside. And he's like, no, we do 1/2-inch. I'm like, okay. Okay, Russian mobster Keith.
When did you turn Russian? Yeah. This is weird.
But I'm glad I did that because it's such a difference. So the other thing I did for that project, Keith and I have been going back and forth on, like, spraying options because we were battling with some HVLP issues on his project that he had. I was spraying some finish too. And then I was like, I want to get a good sprayer. And I mentioned this before. We ended up pulling a trigger on the Graco Ultimate Quick Shot, which is it's a battery powered, like DeWalt battery powered, like a handheld unit that clips into your belt, or you can leave it on a table. It's got a 6-foot hose to a gun, and it's pricey. It's on Amazon, it's like $1,500. If you go through a dealer like Sherwin-Williams or some other places, you can get it a lot lower. My neighbor is a Sherwin-Williams dealer. So I ended up going in there, talked to the guys there. They gave me some tip recommendations, some other stuff, and they had one in stock. So we ended up pulling a trigger on that. And essentially,
did he give you the neighborly discount?
It did. Well, he just got his discount that he can give out or whatever. It was a better deal. It was like, it was better. It saved a couple $100. So it was better. That's all I'm going to say. It's not like we got this thing like half price or anything. Like, we still paid over $1,000 for this sprayer, which is kind of insane. But at the same time, like, I was looking at all the different small to medium projects that I have, and I bought that bigger Graco sprayer for like $300. That's going to be great for when I do the basement, when I refinish the deck, when I paint the shed. For doing cabinets and things, this thing's going to be amazing. And, you know, you ever like talk about a tool you're getting or you get and you get the 50-50, like people are like, oh, you're going to love that thing. That's going to be great. And then the other half's like, yeah, throw that out. Buy the Milwaukee one or buy this one from this other cup. It's like very split down the middle.
Have you been on the internet?
Yeah, I know, right? This thing, everyone raves about it. Like nothing but positive comments. Everyone's, try this. This is great. This is awesome. You're going to like this. Try that. Here's a tip. You know, whatever. I'm like, okay,
I've actually never heard of that until you brought it up. So,
well, they also released just like a new one that runs with a drill. Like you can put a drill on it.
Somebody sent that in the chat. Yeah. I can't remember who sent it, but yeah, I was like, what? And I was looking for pricing on that.
It's a Graco 360 something sprayer. If you look it up, it's interesting. Yeah. It's essentially attaches to a drill to spray using the...
Yeah, the drill becomes the motor for the spray turbine.
Very interesting. But I'm gonna be spraying this weekend, so I will let you guys know next week how it performs. But I'm going to be spraying some thick primer through it and some paint. So much excitement. Yeah. Going to get that done and then put the drawer fronts on, put the side panels on. And the island's going to get, it's going to need some electrical and little things, but should be getting wrapped up very soon. So much excite. Now I'm working on all this while Emma's away for about a week or 10 days. She's in Florida visiting family because her brother's...
Currently?
Yeah, right now. She's in Florida. She's actually sleeping right now. So say goodnight.
I was going to say she was
in the chat in Florida. Yeah. Evan, who was a patron as well. Evan Pressman. He's my brother-in-law. And it's his birthday. He's celebrating another anniversary of 25. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, he's getting older.
Ought to be 25 again.
Again. Right.
And again.
So anyways, again. It's Petri Palooza at the house. It's just me. Just us boys. But us boys is just me.
So, I did that last weekend.
It's kind of nice.
It was nice.
Then you kind of like miss the family, you know, right? So.
Nope.
No. Nope. But
nope.
But the nice thing is I have been knocking out like all these crazy honey-do list items. I'm like, oh, I'm going to surprise her when she gets home. So things are getting done. And then there's other days that I'm not going to lie. It's good and bad. Like there's days that I'm super productive. Then there's other days that this week I had like a mental health block. Like just like, I don't know what it was, especially today. I woke up and all day I was like, well, I have work at 4 and then I have a podcast at 9. So like, I can't do anything today because I can't start a task now. So I kept getting all these little things done, but like nothing substantial was getting finished. And I was like all anxious and weird, and work's been busy this week. It's just been a weird week for me mentally.
I do that same thing. I'll look at my whole day and be like, well, I got to do this thing at noon. So if I start working now, like I'm having to stop in the middle.
Yeah. What's the point?
I can't stand that.
Tomorrow.
I can't. If I go into the shop, I like to go in the shop and be able to work on something from start to finish. Or at least start to an actual endpoint that I've already like thought about in my head. If I go in the shop and I know that there's something that's going to be coming up that's going to interrupt me, I don't want to go out there.
Okay.
Because I can't focus on it because I'm going to be thinking about both things.
Dan, you and I, we get each other. Several people I talk to, that's an ADHD thing. So that's, or whatever you want to call it. There's so many different freaking words for it now.
Like today, I had the roofers here. I didn't want to go out in the shop because I was like focused on the roofers.
You're distracted
and
all day.
Taking care of their needs. And I was like, I was also like trying to keep my pets calm because Max and Paco, especially Paco, did not like all this nonsense.
Yeah.
So like I felt like I was pulled a couple different directions. So I didn't want to go out in the shop and work because, you know, I don't want to mess something up.
It's a weird mental thing where it's like, I saw somebody explain this on TikTok
the other
day. I like to
be fully focused on the thing that I'm doing.
Like, okay, it's 1:30 or it's 1:20 right now. And I have a 3 o'clock appointment, but 1:20 is basically 1:30. And the thing is like, I need to start getting ready. So it's like, it's basically 2 o'clock and I need to be there early. So like, I can't make food right now because I have to leave in an hour and a half. It's one of those things. And to anyone that's still confused, like that sounds stupid. Why can't you just work on a task for 30 minutes? Imagine every one of your tasks every day is you taking a relaxing bath where you dim the lights, you light some candles, you draw the bath just right, get the bubbles going, and like you pick your favorite song, you got your book, and you just try to like de-stress. Imagine trying to jump into a bath like that and setting that mood in 10 minutes and then jumping out. Like, you can't. That takes mental time to like prep yourself for that time. Imagine every task during your day is like, you need to get in right headspace, get all your stuff lined up, focus on this task and get the thing done. Cause like, we'll put in the work, we'll do the work. But like, there's like a good bit of like mental preparation for all these tasks.
And there like, really is. It's
I feel true. Like I'm just not making sense, but Dan, you get it.
I get it fully. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I fall behind all the time, because I need to be in that mode. And sometimes I just can't because I got other things going on. Like if I have to go to the post office, well, hell, that's, even though the post office is 5 minutes away. Well, that's an hour.
That's an hour round trip. Easily. Yeah, just,
easily. It's little things. I fully understand where you're coming from. It's weird, and I'm sure of it that there are other people out there that are going to like say, yeah, I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I have to do the same thing.
If you feel the same way, please let us know. We're not just please, crazy. Even call next week.
Please justify us.
Yeah, call next week. Tell us that we're not actually crazy. See, I'm the worst with this, with like messages or emails. If I see an email come through and it's like, it's important, right. I'm like, I'll deal with this when I have like,
right, exactly. I do the same
fortitude
thing.
To deal with this because I'm running around right now. That's
and
never.
What sucks is you'll open the email or the message or whatever, and it'll be read, and then you won't have a notification there anymore. And by the time you get ready, you're in a place where you can actually respond. You forget about it because it's no longer like a notification on your phone. It's not, there's not a little red dot.
I try to unread messages, like unread or mark as unread, and whatever, is like the greatest thing
I ever. Have to send so many messages that are like, I'm so sorry. I forgot to respond.
I just saw this message from November. Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, that was cool.
I feel like such a jerk.
We didn't mean for this to turn into like a mental health episode, but I mean, it's the part of the thing, like, here's the thing. We don't have a 9-to-5 that we like go. Well, we do also, but like when you do this thing on a side, like your every department, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Your social media, your like finances, your administrative, your HR, which is a nightmare for myself. I touch myself all day.
so many harassment lawsuits going on at once.
No, but like, you know, your every department of your company, and it's really hard to like stay on top of everything. So you want to be in the right space of like, I will do admin stuff later.
I can't do multiple things at once.
Yeah, like
I'm not a multitasker.
When I hear people really like, I just it took 10 minutes to answer some emails and I'm like in a shop and I'm like, how did you do that? That's illegal. Right. You're not supposed to do it. It's supposed to take an hour, right?
Yeah. When I do packaging, I dedicate like several hours to it. Like because I'm gonna do all these orders, cut all these parts. And then I'm going to come inside and just package them and put on music and get focused.
Get a glass of wine, light a candle.
Get in the bath.
Kick the kids out.
You got to really be in the mood. But no, I have to be in that mindset. And it's got to be something that I'm going to dedicate some time to. And I don't like to do little bits here and there. It just feels unproductive to me.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Can't do it.
Like, oh, I'm just going to go in a shop and spray a quick coat of this paint, whatever. I'm like, no, it's like a mental, like prep, you gotta lay it all out. You gotta make sure the air is right, temperature is good. Yeah. Barry White's playing, like spray the coats, whatever, and then you gotta make sure it doesn't dry out. Like, and again, this sounds dumb to some of you guys, but this is how a lot of us like think. It's just there's so much. Yeah. I think we're a product of our society now. There's like so much going on that we are pulled very thin with our mental capacity. There's so much going on and we have to do so many things. Like the answer to all the messages that we have, like I have messages that if I ever don't respond to you, I still love you. It's not intentional. I simply just, if it's more than 2 days old, I'm not seeing it until the next time you message me and I go, oh, hey, just saw this response too, blah, blah, blah. Like it's
yeah. Luckily old messages come up whenever somebody sends a new one. Like, oh yeah, I missed that one. Oops. Sorry about that.
But anyways, that's kind of my what's on a bench. Sorry, I didn't mean to turn this into like a mental health podcast too, but
anyway, tell me about your childhood. How was that?
one thing I will say though, so the new sprayer we got, that Greco Ultimate Quick Shot, so many different words there. It comes with a 210 and a 514 fine finish tips. If you have tip recommendations, and I don't mean like, well, if you have sprayer tips, send in my way, but also like what tip to actually use for spraying. Like what number?
Nothing more, nothing less, just the tip.
Just a tip. Please, exactly. Let me know what you recommend, because the cool thing is if you get sprayers right now through Graco, a lot of them qualify for like a free multiple tips. Like some of them are one, two, or three tips, depending on which one you're getting. So you can get free attachments. No, just like I'm getting a free product that I'm trying to figure out which one to order, because you choose which one you want. It's like, which accessory do I want? Do I want like the 308 or 310, which is what I've kind of been thinking about getting,
obviously,
or some other ones? I know
that's
what all the girls say, right? They want a 310.
Yeah.
So if you have some recommendations, send it my way, please. I could use the help. That's about it for my what's on the bench, bro.
Oh, back to my what's on the bench. You know another thing I did this past week?
I researched the wheels for your truck. I'm telling Kayla.
I went to Braden's shop. So some of you that have been listening for a while know that I bought a bunch of walnut. I think I bought like 1,000 board feet or something like that, somewhere in that neighborhood, of walnut this past January.
And Braden's been heating his shop with it.
Yeah. So Braden was kind enough to let me store a bunch of it in his shop, because at the time I did not have a lot of extra space because of, well, issues with my shop. I was able to go to Braden's shop and actually bring home what was left. I
think you repoed your walnut?
Yeah. there's probably like 150, 200 board feet left of what I had. So it's nice to have it in my shop and not a Braden's shop. But now I'm going to have to replenish it. So we're going to have to go back and get more, I think. Maybe store it in Brim's shop.
As long as that place allows you to get it at that price again.
Oh, that price was so good. What did I get it at? Like $350.
Like they paid you to take it out, basically.
Nearly. Yeah. It was an amazing price. Hopefully, he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna give you that deal from now until."
Well, at least you're no longer driving a Japanese K truck. You can pick up some real lumber now.
Don't even get me started on the Japanese K truck. Yeah, that's it. We can continue on the show. I just wanted to pop back to what's on the bench for that.
By the way, you're not allowed to get different wheels for your truck. I really like you and Kayla together. I don't need you to have any marital issues because you got new wheels for your truck.
Full transparency.
No, God, here we go.
Pete and I were talking about this before the show, and I made a response, and Pete had a really, really funny comeback, and we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring this back in the show because that's super funny, and we got to work it in. And I don't remember.
I almost messaged you.
You should have. I don't remember what conversation we had in between.
It wasn't even a pre-show. It was the in-between the two shows. And Dan's yeah, so I'm looking at these wheels and he's showing me all the different wheels for his truck. I'm like, you're not allowed to get different wheels for the truck. I can't have you and Kayla like falling out. Like, I like you guys together too much. And he's like, nah, she'd never get rid of me. I'm a trophy husband. And I go like, Dan, at best, right. You're a participation trophy.
That's right. I couldn't remember.
This is a grown man doing his best.
All right. Luckily, my wife doesn't listen to this, so
she is a gem. Oh my god!
Oh my god! She's way too good for me. But yeah, I'm probably going to be getting new wheels in
time. Oh my god! No,
I have to. I have to. It's a law of big trucks. You have to get wheels and tires.
No, you're not allowed to.
It's a Nebraska law. It's in the books. I'm telling you.
Speaking of in the books, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, who are you wearing this week?
Oh, I forgot about this thing. Well, let me tell you, I'm wearing a fine, fine t-shirt by Patriotic Pines. Matt over there. Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines.
It's Matt Finish.
He gave me this t-shirt at WorkbenchCon, and I like it. Normally, this brand of t-shirt, I don't like the way it feels because they feel a little heavy and stiff.
I have opinions. But I'll talk about this in a sec.
Okay, yeah, but this actually feels really good. So huge shout out to Matt for giving me the shirt. And my hat is my current favorite hat. I've been wearing it a lot lately. It's my Shopsmith hat. These guys still make shopsmiths. It's still a place.
And hats.
They had a booth at WorkbenchCon, and I conned the nice lady that was there running the booth to give me a hat, and I've been wearing this thing, and I love this hat. What are you wearing, Peter?
Oh, one of our patrons, Nip Bring Woodworking, nice. The only shirt that I own that has a cat on it. It's in the back.
See, it's sort of back here.
Oh, yeah.
You can see all this if you're watching the YouTube live stream, youtube.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. Make sure to like and subscribe our videos. Yeah.
I coordinated videos. My background lights with the shirt that I'm wearing, by the way.
It's green and yellow and red, and you're wearing blue, Dan.
Well, when we started, my lights were blue and purple, and it just like it was like one giant blue screen. So I was like, well, we can't have this.
Wow. It's a big error of a shirt. Well, so here's my hard opinion on this thing. We all talk about like the different shirts we get. We've talked about this in the past. Bella Canvas makes the most comfortable shirts. They're super
light. They do.
They're thin. They're great. They make fine shop shirts. They're great, very comfy light shirts, but they don't feel like a work shirt. And say what you want about Gildan, and I think actually from color to color, it does kind of feel different on the fabric a little bit, but it tends to be a thicker shirt. Like when you get a Carhartt shirt, it feels like thicker. It feels like a Gildan shirt. It feels like a work shirt. Like you're not going to snag it on the edge of your table saw on a little like piece of wood sticking out somewhere. It's going to pull a thread completely out. Like it feels hardy, right?
I don't typically like shirts that feel like they've been starched and you feel like the Tin Man when you're wearing
I know what
you're
mean.
Walking through your shop.
But like the thing
why
is
this shirt so stiff?
I know a thicker shirt's not always desired. And like for a while, I was like, yeah, like Bella Canvas, the best shirt. But then I started wearing some from other makers that are a little thicker. And I was like, man, this actually feels really good for like, I'm rubbing it up against like hard lumber and it's just kind of going across the fabric, not pulling it or whatever. And you know, when you get paint or glue on it, it doesn't quite feel like half the shirt is like hard. You know what I'm talking about? You like lean over a cutting board or a table and you got a line across your belly. We've all done it. Okay. Just saying.
Don't act like you're better than me. You've done it.
Like for more like fun shirts or whatever, like I'm totally for the Bella Canvas. But I've been getting a lot more of like my work shirts, the heavier shirts, in the Gildan style. I do like it. It's a little hardier. It's a little Petrie Carhartt knockoff.
We may have seen eye to eye before, but we do not. Well, see
I mean, because the one from Patriotic Pines is, I think it's a Gildan shirt, right?
I think. I don't know. Here. Did I pull out the tab? Can you see that?
Yes. Yeah, it's upside down. Flip it down. No, flip it down. Don't look lower.
Flip it down.
I think that's Gildan. Yeah.
I can't. Maybe. I don't know.
That tag looks like
this. This is really awkward.
Anyways, it's pros and cons. It's pros and cons for both. Bella Canvas is very comfy, but you know, just if you're thinking about doing apparel, you know, to each their own.
And Pete's not sporting a hat this week.
I'm not. No hat. He's going hatless.
He's letting the Petrie's hair fall.
I have been not going to get a haircut in a while, and it's showing.
Bro, I need a haircut so bad. Even Patrick Gensel of Patrick Gensel like commented on one of my stories. I think I did a story without a hat on. And he's like, oh, my God, your hair. I don't think I've ever seen your hair that long. I was like, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Ooh.
I haven't gotten a haircut since WorkbenchCon.
Speaking of
a week before WorkbenchCon.
Oh, actually, me too. That's when I got it too, right before WorkbenchCon. Yeah. So it's been a month and change. Oh, my God.
Yeah, same.
So actually, speaking of hair, I got some backstory from Keith. I got some tea.
You said back and I was like, where is this going? Oh, my God.
No, no, not back.
Speaking of back hair.
I got some tea from Keith Johnson on Bourbon Moff's new hairdo on his face. He apparently...
Oh, yeah, the hate crime. What we called it? The hate crime?
Dude, so it happened to him. This has happened to me before. Dan, you know what this is like, but having a beard, sometimes you use clippers with different settings.
Yes, yes.
And the thing wasn't on properly or like it wasn't set to the right thing. And he just went... Yeah. And it like reset to zero. And he basically like shaved his face. Right. And it was like,
he mentioned that. I listened.
He mentioned it on a podcast.
I listened to it. I hate to admit it. So yeah, I listened to it.
You know what? I'll allow it. That was a technicality. It's allowed. It's not like he was like, oh, I just thought I'd try something new. No, no, no.
Didn't we bring that up last
week? We did. Oh, those huge. We're all very
Why
upset.
Is Jason Hibbs' beard in Maker News? Like, it's not that important. It's not a cross-cut jig.
I was even telling us to Keith the whole story of like, you know, and then his mid-roll, he's got a full beard. What about continuity, man? so dumb.
It's unwatchable.
Unwatchable. Speaking of unwatchable, let's talk about the French.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where yeah, you gotta play the question.
Oh, wait.
Oh, Black Betty, ram-a-lam. There it is.
I guess that'll do. So our ambassador, aka Malcolm, the voice of AWP, went to France because he just had his daughter and his wife and him went to France, and he was in Paris, beautiful Paris, the croissant capital of the world. And he met up with one of our other listeners. You might know him, Thomas from TSG Makes,
he changed his furious IG Frenchman. Handle,
He did. It's like
I was trying to tag, so I reposted a story.
It's like Le Croissant now or something like that.
Yeah, I reposted the story that they tagged us in, or they tagged us in a reel, and I was going to repost it. And I was trying to tag his account, TSG Makes, and I was like, where the hell is that account?
I know.
Why can't I find it?
It's like,
yeah,
L something, right? I need to like
search. La croissant or something.
It's something like that. It's very.
It's very French.
It is, l'atelier boy.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what it is.
L'atelier boy. This is so bad at this. Thomas, what does it mean? Please help. Please advise. But anyways, they did a little video, and Malcolm pitched this to me like weeks ago, and I was giggling like a schoolgirl on the phone. I need you guys to watch this. We'll throw it in the show notes. But essentially, the premise of the video is Malcolm is there to do a promo for the podcast, which we didn't ask him to do. We appreciate immensely because
he totally did this.
That's why I love him so much.
Super awesome. We're very grateful.
And Malcolm's essentially like, so to try to get more of a French audience, I'm going to just promote it in English, and Thomas is going to be kind enough to translate. So Malcolm just talks about like the Witch Up podcast, a podcast about blah, blah, blah. And then Thomas is quote unquote translating in French. But what he's saying in this English subtitles is like, this man walked into my house and threatened me. Like, I want to get rid of him. Go, I guess, watch this podcast. And he's like holding up a sign. This is help me. So, it's great.
It's absolutely great. Go watch it.
It's awesome. Plus you know what? Beyond the, it's funny, beyond the whatever, like, how insane is it? Me and Dan were talking about this in a pre-show. How insane is it that two men that listen to this podcast, two random human beings on this planet that listen to our podcast, happen to meet up on a different continent, and the only thing they have in common is literally me and Dan?
Well, that and they're both like makers.
Well, of course, but, yes. But like,
yeah,
that's how the connection was made. It blows my mind.
That is so damn cool. So damn cool.
Oh my God.
I'm super
so awesome.
Proud to be a tiny part of it.
Ah,
it's so cool.
Both great people. Well, speaking of which, yeah. they sent in a voicemail, which if it's okay with you, Dan, I'm going to play.
Oh, please.
Yeah, let's do it.
French.
Bonjour. Welcome to An American Woodworker in Paris. I'm Malcolm, and my host is Thomas.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Hey, guys. What a week. I don't even know where to start. I don't really have a question for tonight. I just want to thank you guys for the t-shirt and also for making this podcast. I found it randomly one day because I just wanted to listen to something while sending, and a few months later, someone from the internet crossed the Atlantic, escaped from his family in Paris to make silly videos and play with hardwoods with me. By the way, Malcolm, I know you'll be listening to this. Thanks again for everything. I had a lot of fun, and I hope you did too. Even if I struggled switching to English sometimes. Actually, I do have a question for you guys. What do makes this community as awesome as it is, unlike others? Is there actually a hitman that removes bad wood freelancers? All right, have a good podcast. Bye.
All right, I caught 75% of that.
Whoa. Hold on to your pants because I'm going to translate.
Okay, thank you. I love you, Tomah, but I'm really bad at understanding some people. Pete, sometimes I can't even.
He says, I do have a question for you guys. What makes this community as awesome as it is unlike others? Is there actually a hitman that removes bad woodfluencers?
And okay.
Yeah, what do you think happened to Nick Key? Ha ha. You know, like, ooh, oh, I'm kidding.
Too soon. We don't talk about
it. He just stepped away. No, there is no Hitman Wink officially that takes care of this in any way. There's no John Wick of woodworking, anything like that.
Actually, there is. There is a John Wick of woodworking. It's literally John Wicks.
Just John Wicks. Also, there's Drew Witt of Witworks. It's just a pun on wet works. If you've watched any spy movies, you know what that stands for. No, there is not. The thing is, here's the honest truth here. If you're kind of a butthole, you're just not going to make friends in this community. You might be well known if you make enough noise, but like, if you're kind of a butthole, you're not going to make friends. That's all it is. People tend to congregate around, like, here's the reason why this community is so different. And we talked about this in a pre-show. As well with Dan and this photographer community. And like, I had a community of friends that like were like gamers and played a lot of games together. And like, even that wasn't as welcoming and positive as making it.
Yeah.
Cause this is literally everyone's therapy is this thing. And we love it.
Feel as welcoming as this community.
So no, in general, there's no hitman. People just like, they shoot themselves in the foot by not being nice.
Can I just, We're not going to officially time out. I just want to say time out real fast. Can you hear the raccoons outside right now?
No.
They're freaking out. You don't hear them?
No.
Okay, good. Continue.
Okay, with it.
Nebraska thing. No big deal.
Raccoon, like Thunderdome basement or whatever. Wasn't that one of the episodes?
Yeah, it was the chicken leg raccoon fight.
That's right. But
the restaurant here in Omaha.
But to mine really is that's all it is. And I really like, I'm actually curious to hear, I would love for you to call in and talk about how is this, obviously this is a very international community with online and whatnot, but it is predominantly US, tends to be English speaking countries, but not so much. Like I see like Polish woodworkers and I see a lot of Middle Eastern stuff too.
I follow a couple German woodworkers. Yeah. I don't necessarily interact with them, but I look at their content and it's fun. I think I follow a couple Spanish guys.
But is there,
or Latino guys?
I'm kind of curious, like, is there that kind of community in France? Like, it has to be. Like,
oh yeah, that's a very good question.
I would, Tomah, I would love to know, like, and other people that listen to other countries, like our Brazilian listeners and the ones from like Israel and other countries.
Look, we know,
like,
we have Poland, at least two listeners in Sweden.
At least. So if you're in Sweden, like, can you tell us about your like maker community? Do you guys have that? Because I'm really curious.
We get charting like listings every week, and we're for some reason we're always listed in Sweden. So I know we got a couple.
Yeah, we're kind of a medium deal up there, at least for the English speaking, the few English speaking podcasts in Sweden. But I'm curious to see, because like, here's the thing: we complain that we don't have enough get-togethers here in the U.S. Like, it's to the point where we're like, oh, two major events and like 50 smaller ones, not enough. I barely see Dan, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's other countries that have never seen other makers ever at an event, you know? Right. So I'm kind of curious, like, what is the international crowd like? And I'll, you know what? Just because I'm feeling zazzy here, I'll allow Canada. You could be international. I want to know I do genuinely want to, like, what's it like in Canada?
You want to know why I know that's international? Because it costs me more to ship up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying.
But like, I'm curious, what's the deal with like with Canada and makers up? I know obviously you guys are a big part of just, we're all one community up here in North America's, but like physically, are there events? Are you guys going to these meetups? Is something happening? Because like when obviously Maker Camp happens, we actually get quite a few Canadians that come down. We get Canadian Pat. And that's it. End of list.
Didn't Scott Walsh come?
Scotty. We also had
Workbench Con.
Isn't Cochrane Kayaks, isn't he in Canada?
Possibly.
Yeah, and then, oh my God, Evan? Isn't Evan in Canada?
Evan is in Toronto.
Which is legally Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple of them.
He's either in Toronto or Vancouver. I don't know Canada very well, and I just scratched my mic, so sorry.
Here's US, Canada, but it's also Alaska here.
That's but ours. I don't know where, like, the cities are. Like, I don't know if Toronto and Vancouver are... I don't know where they're at.
Yeah, because...
Or Quebec.
Quebec.
Quebec's a place.
That's where Shorzy was filmed, I think.
Right? I know. All I know is, I think... Vic from the Stump Shop. I think he's in the Toronto
area. He's in the Toronto area. Yep.
Scotty Walsh is as well.
Yeah, they're in that area. Yep.
Yeah.
So they're in my one true time zone. Yep.
Oh, is that east?
Yep.
I see. Yep. Not the true time zone, but I know where you're at. So
tomato potato.
I did the math. All right.
Well, Dan.
What now?
Well,
did we answer his question?
What we did, there's no assassins, just people shoot themselves in the foot. If they're not good to the community, if they're not nice,
right.
Or if at the very least, you have to be funny.
The community has a good way of weeding out the bad apples, I feel like.
Yeah.
It really does. Like,
it does.
If you're just like a jerk, I think the community has a way of like kind of getting rid of you slowly. I've seen it happen.
And here's the thing. Dan and I, and I'm not going to name any names in this, but like Dan and I have had conversations of like, that guy seems like a butthole. He's kind of rude. Or he seems like really show off here or whatever. And then like, but like their content still like, you go like, this guy's funny. Okay. All right. This is good. This is fine. This is fine. Like they're still like, they might not be like involved in all the community stuff, might not be all hugs and high fives and stuff, but it's, they still contribute to the community in some way. The people that are just straight up rude and not good to the community, they're not part of the community. Like, yeah. You know, some of my closest friends, most of my closest friends and best friends and what I consider family now are people I met through Instagram, which is insane. Like,
that's weird.
Dan's like a brother to me.
You go back 15 years, 20 years, when your parents were telling you, don't give out your name on the internet.
The opposite now.
Now I'm just giving out my address, my social security number. Hey, you want a credit card? I got you.
Like, it's crazy. It really is crazy that we just, like, we have this, like, close, like, if I'm ever in France, like, I'm heading up Thomas. You know, honestly, yeah. If I'm ever in, like, Denmark or Poland, I might just be like, yo, like, you're, like, a 2-hour flight for me. Like, it's not, because it's so... Like, close to each other.
I want to go to France, but can I sleep in your garage to save a little dough? Come on, man. Help a brother out. We're a community.
There's a lot of shavings. Fine. Also, Thomas put in some work this week. Like, I know, like, obviously they worked on a mallet with Malcolm because he had to fight off Malcolm with something. Like, he tricked him. He turned a mallet with him and was like, get out of my house. But he also, like, he was doing a story, I think today, and he's like, oh, I turned all of these yesterday, and it pans quickly to a shelf of like 50, like, what look like small planters or cups or something. I'm like, damn.
My goodness.
Put in some work. Yeah. So good work, Tamar. Keep crushing it. But again, please call in if you guys have any, like, your experiences of the maker communities abroad. Or
look at you calling for international calls. I love it.
Canada asterisk. Or
we don't give out like calling cards anymore, right? That's not a thing. So like you don't have to call international. I mean, you can just email us a voice memo.
I know that's
you don't
like,
have to actually call.
I know that's a joke, but like that's how we called my family back in Poland when we first moved here. Like we went to a payphone and had to get a card and it would beep when you're like about to be out of time. Like, okay, I love you guys. Oh, damn it, I hung up.
We had a baby, it's a boy.
Didn't we make the collect call joke the other day?
Yeah, I think we did. I can't remember. Last week was a little bit of a blur, so I don't recall.
Man, you youngins, you don't know. You just don't know.
That's one of the greatest commercials ever. We had a baby,
it's a boy.
That's right up there with, hey, I just shipped my pants last week. Whatever that commercial
ship was. My pants.
Old Navy.
Old Navy.
Was that Old Navy commercial?
Something like that.
So great. Anyway, did we have any other call-ins this week?
We didn't, which is very few call-ins. But We encourage you guys to record a voice memo or send us an email with a written question like a savage. You know, and that's okay. We will use ChatGPT to make that into an audio file. We've done that in the past.
Maybe people aren't calling in because they know that we talk too dang much as it is.
No. Because
we're already in like an hour and a half.
I promise to talk less if you guys call in.
Oh, I'm not talking less. I'm going to talk more.
Shut up. We're trying to trick them.
Oh. Right, sorry.
But don't feel like you just have to call in with questions. Obviously, you guys know everything, right? You don't need us. Who are we to answer questions for you? But if you guys want to comment on anything that we did, I think we had like a segment that we tried to do, like a...
What did we call it? Offcuts?
Offcuts, because we couldn't do kickback. No,
some other podcast called it kickback. We can't do
that. Yeah, we couldn't do kickback.
I think we called it offcuts.
Snipe!
But there's a...
call it snipe.
Snipe?
Snipe. You know, snipey comments, so...
I think we called it offcuts, but here's the thing. Like, there's another podcast, another woodworking podcast out there called Offcuts.
Yeah, so it's
or off the cuts or off the.
I know there's an off the cuff.
Off something.
Is it off the cuff or off the cut?
Off the cup. I don't know. It's off something.
I don't know.
It's out there.
Craft will never die, right?
It won't.
Because
we won't let that joke die. Anyway.
But yeah, if you want to call in with some kind of comments, questions, concerns, or just like rebuttals, or just tell us about your international maker thing. And then honestly, like also, if you're in the US, I'll throw you a bone. Call in with some events that you guys are going to be visiting this year. It's still early in the year. Like we're definitely WorkbenchCon, MakerCamp. Those two always happen for us. If you guys have some other stuff planned that we should be putting on our map as well, we'd love to know about it. Yeah, tell us, because like if we can swing it, we might actually do some more trips with you guys. So that'd be fun.
Well, not with them.
Well, but I mean,
maybe to the same place.
All shove into an Airbnb.
I don't know. We're still talking about strangers on the internet for the most part.
Let's
not get weird.
ASL, Dan. Weird.
Okay. 45. Yes, please.
Location.
Oh, L was for location. Yeah. I had to think there for a second. I was like, what is L? Nebraska.
It's angle, stance, and length.
Mm.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's all geometry. Okay, cool. Cool. Anyway, I think that's it for this show.
Get us out of here, Dan.
At least this episode.
Hey, huge.
Not it for the show in general.
To our patrons and
our sponsor.
There you go.
PWN. Go check them out. There'll be a link in the show notes. We're super, super happy to have on PWN as a sponsor. You're going to be hearing more about those fine folks in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and stay tuned. Also, check out our content. We're going to be showcasing some of their stuff on our channels too. So,
yes. Big shout out to everybody who listens. Shout out to our patrons. If you like what you hear here, hear here. If you like what you've been hearing on this thing, share it with everybody you know. Share it any way you can. Share it by carrier pigeon. Share it by Telegram. By fax. Can you share a podcast by fax? I don't know. Give it a shot. Let us know how it goes. Call in and let us know. Share it however you can. Word of mouth. Take out a newspaper ad. A classified ad.
Write it on a piece of wood and then angle your table saw, open up the garage door, and kick back that piece out the garage door with the podcast
across
info.
The neighborhood.
Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah, that's one of the best ways this show can grow. And this show has actually grown quite a bit. Did we talk about how we crossed over 500,000
Oh, my
downloads?
God. We have not. Half a million downloads on this podcast.
Officially, this past week, we hit 500,000
downloads. Wah, wah, wee, wah. And only three away from episode 200.
Wild.
Also, technically, with the Christmas specials we've done, half episodes, we're already over 200. But, like, it's not the real number we track.
Yeah.
We're at 197. Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of 200, you might want to stay tuned in. We got something special planned for episode 200. We got some announcements. We're probably going to do some giveaways. And, you know, we're going to be our normal selves, and it's always a good time to hang out with us, so.
Oh, did she write back to you? She like, wrote back, and, like, they're all going to be on? Okay, never mind. Forget everything I said.
Weird. Nope. I think that's it. That's all I have. Let's wrap this up. It's getting awkward.
All right. I love you. Bye.
Oh, that was abrupt.
You said wrap it up.
Love you long time.
Okay. Bye.
Danio.